God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we celebrate this Holy Trinity, we do so, however, with a reference from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. And in this reference of the Old Testament, I will admit we have a lot of things going on. Unfortunately, we do not necessarily have one of those Old Testament references that do refer to the Trinity. And there are some of those. I don't want you to think that the Trinity is some sort of New Testament man-made discovery. No, quite obviously, the Old Testament testifies to the fact that God has three persons, but yet one God. Today, however, there's another beautiful nuance in our text for today. So as we unravel our text, I'll try to sort of bring out some of these points. First of all, it starts with Isaiah sort of having this vision. And in this vision, he sees God Almighty sitting on his throne and his robe, the train of his robe, filling the whole temple. And then in verse 2, you get something really spectacular. You get the seraphim. We don't know exactly what the seraphim are. Obviously, they are angels. But more importantly, they are of the realm which is considered invisible. Too often in our earthly life, we are so concerned with the visible, we lose sight that there is actually something beyond us that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch. When was the last time you touched an angel? Needless to say, most of us probably haven't had that experience. But Isaiah now somewhat does. He sees the seraphim and describes them. Had six pair of wings. Two that covered the face, two that covered the feet, and two he flew. And verse 3, one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, if these words sound familiar, I hope that they are, it comes upon in our divine service when we get to the service of the sacrament. We call this the Sanctus, lack of a better term, holy. And in our Sanctus, we talk about holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. At least this is what we're singing for today. But we may remember the other version when we talk about Lord of Sabaoth. And Sabaoth basically means Lord of the hosts. What is Lord of the host? Basically, Lord of the invisible army of angels, so to speak. And so we have that phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And that word holy means something that's perfect, without sin. Something to be in awe of, which describes the whole earth is now full of his glory. Verse 4 picks up that the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Now please notice Isaiah's reaction here. He said, "Woe to me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now this passage is talking in reference to the concept that how can us as unclean human beings stand in the presence of something so perfect? There was a thought, and especially in the Old Testament, that should we ever see God face to face, we would die. Where does this thought come from? Strangely enough, it comes from God himself. He says this to Moses as Moses sort of begs a request of him. He would like to see God, and he says, "You know, you can't behold my glory. You can't look upon it because you are stained with sin. Your body is corrupted." So to appease Moses, he sort of puts his hand in front of Moses as he walks by, and then as he continues to walk by, he sort of withdraws his hand. Moses then gets this sort of back glimpse of God, which then changes him. As Moses comes down the mountain from that event, he didn't realize that he was glowing. Needless to say, when he came into the camp, the people were terrified. But getting back to Isaiah, Isaiah had every right to be fearful. His own sin condemns him. He deserves to be torn apart. He deserves to be condemned. In one essence, his life should be flashing before his eyes. But however, our Lord doesn't necessarily do that. I don't know if you picked that up with our gospel reading for today. We have the beautiful passage of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And notice what the 17th verse said. To save the world, not to condemn it. God doesn't want to necessarily to be zapping you. Every time you do something wrong, whoops, there goes a lightning bolt. You're now gone. God doesn't want that. Instead, he wants us to be in a relationship with him. But something must transform us to be in that relationship, because we're still talking about the Holy of Holies here, the Holy One, so to speak. And so in our text for today, it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal. Please note that it did not burn the seraphim's hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth. In one essence, you would think that that would be very, very painful. That might even be permanently disfiguring. And it is. Maybe not necessarily in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Because the result is, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. That act of the burning coal coming upon Isaiah's lips was enough for God to sit there and say, you no longer have any guilt. Your sin is atoned for. You can now be in my presence of the Holy One. And as the rest of our text notes, something special is going to occur. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. Now, this text gives us a very beautiful aspect of God's relationship with us. God is the one who atones for our sin, who takes our guilt away, and I just want to stop there for a moment. Do you truly believe this? I mean, sure, we can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and we can say, yes, I believe this is my Savior. I believe that, yes, he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. But to pull away the guilt that is within me, why do I still feel guilty when I do something wrong? Why do I still have this nagging guilt over past sins? I've been baptized. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do I not believe God's word of Scripture here? Well, let's just put it like this. If you also have any of these nagging forms of guilt, let's go back to this word of our Isaiah. Those nagging forms of guilt come from our sinful human nature. Yes, we've been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. We may not have had the burning coal touched to our lips, but we have the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, placed upon us with water and God's Word. We now belong to God. And I'm certainly glad that we have baptism instead of this burning coal. Because can you just picture if I was supposed to take a little child and take a burning coal from the altar? I don't know about the seraphims. Its hands didn't burn. I'd be afraid that mine would. And now I'd have to touch this child with this burning coal. Oh, I have a strange feeling. Department of Children and Family Services and the police department would be here immediately. So I'm glad we have baptism. It's a little bit easier for us to comprehend and understand, but yet the same thing takes place. Do we not understand that when we are baptized, our sin is taken away, our guilt is taken away? Then why do we continue to gravitate toward that guilt? Why does it still linger? Why does it still haunt us? We need to go back to what God's word reminds us. and use that word and saying, yes, this is what I believe. My sin is atoned for. And the next time those thoughts of guilt start crossing our mind again for the various things we've done in the past, we are need to be reminded of this text and saying, no, I am forgiven. Because will those thoughts, stray thoughts, go through our mind again? They certainly will. Our human flesh is corrupt. There is still sin as part of our corruption of the flesh. This is the power of God's word now we need to hang on to. This isn't something that just occurred in the past. We need these words here and now to remind us when guilt comes upon us. When we fall into sin, our sin is atoned for. And this should bring us joy. In one essence, we should be jumping up and down inside that, yes, this burden is relieved. In one essence, Isaiah was. Because God now says, I have a task. And it's not going to be an easy task. It's a task where there's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, but the task still needs to be done. God's word still needs to be proclaimed. This joyful news of the forgiveness of sins and guilt being taken away needs to be proclaimed to all the world. But who wants to bear that type of life? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. For us today, we sort of have to ask ourselves, what stops us from being so joyful with this Christian love and forgiveness? What stops us from jumping up and down, so to speak, hearing the precious words, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for? Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's struggling with God's word. Maybe it's just our sinful human nature that does not want to embrace that gospel freedom. So today we talk about being guiltless. I will admit, you sometimes will see this on packages. You know, some sort of special diet type dessert that says, you know, you can eat the dessert and feel guiltless, so to speak, that there's not a lot of calories in it, so on. But can we do this with our own life? Can we live our life in the glory of Christ, knowing that, yes, we've been baptized. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Yes, we've been saved by our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that brings about a freedom within us. Or are we still held hostage by our sinful nature, even though Christ has set us free? I will admit, our sinful nature is strong. And sometimes we feel like we're still being held hostage by feelings of guilt and despair. So today, as we take a look at the mystery of the Trinity, we realize what God is trying to accomplish. Why the Trinity? Yes, you have the Father who loves and creates. You have the Son who dies and redeems. And you have that Holy Spirit who is constantly with you to remind you of God's grace. Why do we need that constant reminder? Because the feelings of guilt are strong. So this day, as we come and we celebrate the Holy Trinity, we are reminded of Isaiah's words that were spoken to him and spoken for us. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Today we have an opportunity to have something touch your lips, to take your guilt away, to show you the atonement of sin. It's not the burning coal, though, but it is from the altar. We have the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this day we come to the Lord's table. We taste and see that the Lord is good, not condemning, but freeing. Not allowing us to wallow in our guilt, but to take our guilt away, to atone for our sin. Yes, we need a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three aspects of one God for you, to release you from the burden of sin and guilt, and to free you for life, life eternal. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.